Good morning. Great to see everyone this morning. Warm welcome. Great to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And we know that each and every one of us will be blessed by being here. Special welcome to anyone who's visiting our church today. It's good to see you. And we know that along with all of us, we will share God's blessings. You know what this means? We're celebrating birthdays, so prepare ye the way. As I drove to church this morning with Iris, this has got to be probably the most beautiful morning of the year for driving to church. When you looked at the colours and the, you know, and isn't it just a great reminder of the presence of the Lord? This is my Father's world. You know, and that sprang into my mind. Just listen to this first verse. This is my Father's world. You probably know it anyway. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is the Lord's world. We are blessed by his presence. His presence is all around us. And what a reminder of that this morning, coming in from home to church. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Kept saying, wow, look at that. Wow, look at that. All these colours. Enough of me. Marge.
Morning. Your church calendars for the coming year are available either in your mailboxes, or if you don't have a mailbox, they're on the table in the foyer. A reminder of the elders' meeting Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. And Dan has said that he has the elders' schedule for the next, I don't know how many months, and he's placed them in the elders' appropriate mailboxes, so make sure you check them. Thanksgiving donations for the food bank can be placed in the box out in the foyer. And we received an invitation from the Mountain View Food Bank Society. They're having an open house on Saturday, October the 2nd, from 1 to 3. And they want you to come and see their new facilities and learn about the services they provide. So everyone is welcome. They have moved upstairs now from downstairs, and it is a much nicer place. So if you get the opportunity, drop in and just see where your food goes and is sorted and goes out to the needy. Official board meeting this Tuesday, September the 28th at 7:30. And I'd like to remind any of the ladies of the congregation that are interested, the Ladies Christian Fellowship, there's been a brochure made up of the activities and the things we're doing throughout the year. So this is what was formerly called the WA. Now we're called the Ladies Christian Fellowship. And if anyone is interested, there's some brochures out just as you go out the door if you're interested in joining us even for one of the activities during the year. Just pick one up. Are there any other announcements? Thanks, woman. You can see the two that they made before. They're beautiful. So be anxious to see what the next ones are like.
And if you had heard those ladies laughing whilst they were making those banners, I wasn't quite sure what was going to be on them. But they certainly enjoyed themselves. They had a great time, great fellowship, and the results of which are just beautiful. And we as a church family are very grateful. Okay, so if you've had a birthday in September, or you're going to have one before the month is out, or you had one prior to that and we missed you, time to celebrate birthdays.
The years go by.
And we wish a happy birthday to all of those people who celebrated with their church family. Great. Many more of them to you. Okay, there being no further announcements, we worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. In Micah chapter 6 verse 8 we read, "The Lord God has told us what is right and what he demands. See that justice is done. Let mercy be your first concern and humbly obey your God." I'd like to invite the youth praise team to come up on to the platform now and lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
Apparently, our other member is in the bathroom.
Don't tell her I said that.
Hi, Claire. Starting with, "Lord, I lift your name on high."
All of creation, bow before
It's kind of like... Our thanks to Youth Praise for that lively introduction to our worship service today. He's got you all worn out, so you can have a rest now. But try and stay with us. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father, we thank you that you have given to us this morning this great privilege, this wonderful joy of being able to come together in your house on this your day. And before we even got here, Father, we were so much reminded of your gracious presence all around us, in the beauty of this earth that you have created, in your reliability in the seasons, Lord, that no matter what happens, what we do in our lives, you are constant. The seasons are constantly with us and constantly reminding us that this, Father, is your world. And so we come, gracious Father, to worship you this day. We seek to bring blessings and honor to you as you have honored us. We seek to lift high the name of Jesus to bring honor and glory to your name. And we pray, gracious Father, that you will accept the praise that we bring in this time of worship. We ask you also, Lord, to open our hearts and open our minds and speak to each and every one of us this morning. For we know, Lord, that you have called us here for a purpose. You have something to say to each and every one of us. Bless us, Father, for we come in the name of Jesus. And we pray now as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Jeremiah 32, 1-3, and then moving from verses 6-15. Jeremiah buys a field. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. The army of the king of Babylon was then besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was confined in the courtyard of the guard in the royal palace of Judah. Jeremiah said, The word of the Lord came to me. Hanamel, son of Shalom, your uncle, is going to come to you and say, Buy my field at Anathoth, because as nearest relative, it is your right and duty to buy it. Then, just as the Lord had said, my cousin Hanamel came to me in the courtyard of the guard and said, Buy my field at Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin. Since it is your right to redeem it and possess it, buy it for yourself. I knew that this was the word of the Lord, so I bought the field at Anathoth from my cousin Hanamel and weighed out for him 17 shekels of silver. I signed and sealed the deed, had it witnessed, and weighed out the silver on the scales. I took the deed of purchase, the sealed copy containing the terms and conditions, as well as the unsealed copy, and I gave this deed to Barak, son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, in the presence of my cousin Hanamel, and of the witnesses who had signed the deed, and of all the Jews sitting in the courtyard of the guard. In their presence I gave Barak these instructions. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Take these documents, both the sealed and the unsealed copies of the deed of purchase, and put them in a clay jar so they will last a long time. For this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land. And our responsive reading if you'll follow with the parts marked with the C. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Can we squeeze you all in? Those who can't get in, can you come to this side? You see, we're going to have a baptism this morning. We're going to have a baptism. A little baby is going to be dedicated to God, and that's what we're all up front for this morning, okay? This is the part of the service which is more or less out of my control. You never know what might happen when we have a baptism. We just hope and pray that all goes well. So would those who are presenting their child for baptism this morning please come forward, bring your child and bring your supporters with you.
I present Bridget Maria Gelrich for the sacrament of holy baptism. We read in the Gospel of St. Mark. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
In this sacrament of holy baptism, we celebrate God's love, a love revealed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, a love that has surrounded this child from her beginning. In this sacrament of baptism, we proclaim that God has acted to save this child. He adopts her as a member of his family, incorporating her into the living body of Christ. In this sacrament of baptism, we consecrate her to God's purposes, knowing that even though we may falter, God will not, that he will continue through his Holy Spirit the work begun this day, a work in which life triumphs over death. Parents, I ask you therefore before God and this congregation, do you present this child earnestly desiring that by this sacrament of baptism she be made a member of the Church of Christ? If this is so, please answer, I do.
You
you don't answer yet. Will the congregation please stand? Beloved in the Lord, do you receive this child in Christ's name as we have been received, promising to support her with constant love, wholesome example, Christian teaching and faithful prayer? Are you willing to accept so great a responsibility? If this is so, please answer, we are willing, God being our helper.
We are willing, God being our helper.
Thank you. Please be seated. Parents and supporters, I ask you before God and this congregation, do you profess your faith in God, your Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, your Saviour and Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, your teacher and guide? If this is so, please answer, I do. Will you bring up your child in the knowledge and love of God, teaching her the truths and duties of the Christian faith? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Will you provide a Christian home for her, so fashioning your lives that she may come to know Christ as her Saviour? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. Will you encourage her to seek confirmation that being strengthened in faith by the Holy Spirit and nurtured at the table of the Lord, she may go forth to serve God faithfully in this world? If this is so, please answer, I will, God being my helper. We bow our heads in prayer. Almighty and eternal God, whose beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has bidden us make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in thy name, sanctify with thy Spirit this child now to be baptized according to thy word, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Big girl. There's a big, beautiful girl, eh? Father, what is the name of this child?
Bridget.
Bridget Maria Gelrich, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and the glorious head of the church here on earth and in heaven, I declare that Bridget has now been received into the Holy Christian Church. Please welcome her. Say hello to Bridget. Hiya, Bridget. Say hello to Bridget. Hello, Bridget. That's nice. Look at all these nice people come to see you be baptized, eh? Hello. Isn't that nice? Hey? Isn't she a sweetie? There. Wow. Hello, Bridget. No, I haven't forgotten you all up this site. Hello, Bridget. Look at these nice people. These are all your family. Isn't that nice? There. Wow, isn't this nice? All of these, your family, aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and cousins. There. Well, that was easy. That was excellent. Wasn't that good? Wasn't that good? Bridget, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. Thank you. Good as gold. Thank you. Who's seen one of these before? Oh, what does it say on there? Who made these? That's right, Invocation Bible School. All of the children who were at that Bible school participated in making these beautiful little blankets. They are going to World Vision, and World Vision see that little children get these who will otherwise be deprived. And this blanket reminds them that God loves them. As this blanket wraps around them and keeps them warm, so will the warmth of God's love. So this is beautiful. So these blankets are being dedicated to God for His work amongst little children. And they're going to be taken down to World Vision. And all the boys and girls are going to sign a card. You are going to sign this card to say that you've sent them, and you made them, and you sent them. Can you do that? Well, you can maybe do that in Sunday school. So shall we just say a little prayer right now? Sure you can.
What did we put inside of those blankets when we made it?
Hearts.
And what did we do when we put those hearts inside? Time. Well, but what did we do? Did we pray for all those children first? So inside every one of those blankets, there's about 5 hearts.
Did you hear that? Inside every blanket, there's at least 5 little hearts. And lots of big prayers. That's a big prayer. So let's say another prayer now. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you love all children. And we pray especially for the children who will receive these blankets. We pray that you will bless them, you will love them, and the hearts that are in here may glow and glow within them with your wonderful love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. Do we have a song at all today? Any song? Bubbling.
You know, I think this abundance of effervescence... Oh, thanks, Andrea. This abundance of effervescence seems to run in her family. I'd like to invite Youth Praise to come on back up here and lead us in our special music. Thank you.
Yes.
We're going to sing a song this morning that we did at Christmas time when we combined both the Youth Praise Band and the worship team together. It's called Hallelujah, I'm Free, which is, I hope, a song that every one of us can honestly sing the words to.
To life, leaving the darkness for your
Thanks to Youth Praise for leading us once again in our worship with special music. It was special. It was great. Thank you. I'm glad it was you singing that, Phil, not me. Thank you. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts, which are but humble tokens of our gratitude. So we ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts and accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The next hymn that we are going to sing, it's number 65 in the hymn book. It's entitled The Wonder of It All. And this is a little hymn which was written by George Beverly Shea. You remember him, one with the Billy Graham Crusades. And he wrote this beautiful little hymn. And it just kind of fits in so nicely with this time of the year and the beauty of God's splendor all around us. So we stand and sing to God's glory, and I'll ask Kathy to lead us in the singing of this. The Wonder of It All. We stand and sing to God. Hoping that you will appreciate more the relevance of that hymn when we get to the sermon. Have a look at the title. We come to our time of prayer. Precious time. A special time to us, but I think a special time to God our Father, who listens to us, he loves us, he cares for us. The wonder of it all, that he cares and loves us. And he hears every prayer that we pray. For those who don't know, just to give you a little update, your prayers have once again been answered. Reg Francis is back from Calgary and he is back in Didsbury. And I'm sure this is something that we all prayed for. It makes life a whole lot easier for Reg and for Alice and for all of his friends who would visit him and just try to bring some comfort to him. So Reg is in Didsbury, room 219 if you need to know. And Alice would appreciate your prayers, especially at this time. And there are lots of other people who appreciate your prayers at this time, and I'm sure you've got lots of them sitting in your heart, and you will be praying for them soon. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, through your great wisdom and power, you moulded and created this great universe of which we are a small part. You created and formed all things until you, Father, declared, "It is good." In the same way, Father, you shaped and formed Each and every one of us, even before we were born. And again, you declared it is good. We thank you, gracious Lord, that in your sight we were created good. And we ask for your forgiveness that because of some of the decisions and the choices that we make in trying to direct our own lives, that we become less than the perfect creation of your heavenly vision. Holy Father, you made us to be useful, yet we so often render ourselves to be useless by our lack of dedication and our lack of commitment in our discipleship to our Saviour Jesus. But we realize, Father, that we are still a work in progress, that we are still being shaped and reshaped by you, Lord, into the people that you want us to be. We ask you to bless us, Father, and to grant us your forgiveness for those times when we stray. Father, we know that you want us to grow into Christian maturity by your hand. And we know that you do forgive us when we truly repent. And we know, Lord, and we pray that you can remold us before we become too set in the ways that we choose for ourselves. And we remember, Father, from Scripture that thou art the potter and we are the clay. And so we thank you, Lord, and we pray now, not just for us, for ourselves, but we pray for those around us, for the sick and for the suffering, for the homeless and for the hungry, for the despairing and the depressed, for the lost and for the lonely. And we pray for those, Lord, who are persecuted for their faith. And we pray, Lord, for our friends and for our neighbours, for those near at hand and for those who are far away. And for all of these people, Lord, we ask you to hear our prayers. Bless them all, Lord, and for these specific people and for these situations that we hold in our hearts, these people, Lord, that we present before you now, we pray, Lord, in the silence of our hearts. And we ask you to hear our prayers for those whom we pray for and those whom we care about. We pray in silence. Almighty Father, we know that in your love, you not only hear all of our prayers, but you also answer them. We pray, Lord, that you would grant us the wisdom and the grace to accept your answer to our prayers. And so we ask you now, Lord, to bless us all. Bless this church family. And may we be true disciples of our Lord Jesus. Bless our homes and our plans for the future. Bless our children and bless their teachers and helpers. Bless our worship and bless our work. That all we say and do may be to glorify you and to bring life and light to the communities that we serve in your blessed name. Almighty Father, hallowed be thy name, now and forever. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Our gospel is from St. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, lived in luxury every day. At his gate laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham, far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip in the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetimes you have received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor that anyone can cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also become to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. And our epistle is from 1 Timothy 6, chapter 16, verses 6 through 19. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, men of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called to when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring out of his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in an unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and might forever. Amen. Command those who are rich in this present world and not to be arrogant nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides for us with everything for our enjoyment. Command to them to do good, to be rich and in good deeds, and share, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is the truly life.
Thank you, Claire. We're working you hard this morning. Thank you very much. The next hymn we're going to sing is it's not in our current hymn book, but it's a hymn. I'm almost certain you will all be familiar with it. You probably sang it in Sunday school when you were a lot younger, or a little bit younger, whichever the case may be. So we stand and we sing to God's glory that great old hymn, God Who Made the Earth.
Made the earth, the empire's fire of stars. just up three. Thank you.
Peggy's playing that hymn from one of our previous old hymn books, the Hymnary. And obviously in that particular one, there's four verses. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our lectionary gospel reading today is quite an amazing message from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a brilliant message for us to read and hear. It's not a brilliant message for preachers to preach on. It's all about hell. How'd you preach about hell? This story from St. Luke is the story of the beggar Lazarus and an unnamed rich man. Some people give this rich man the name of Dives. It's spelled Dives, D-I-V-E-S, but it's pronounced Dives. It's a Latin word which means rich man. So it's not actually his name, it's just a description of what he was. So Lazarus the beggar and Dives the rich man, they both die. The beggar Lazarus went to heaven, described as being at Abraham's side, which was how they described heaven in Jesus' day. And the rich man went to hell, where he was in torment. There then follows an interesting conversation between the rich man, who is in hell, and with Abraham, who is in heaven. And from this conversation, we can learn quite a bit about that place that we seldom speak about, that place known as hell. The great theologian C.S. Lewis was listening to a young preacher's sermon on the subject of God's judgment on sin. And at the end of the message, the young man said, "If you do not receive Christ as your Saviour, you will suffer grave eschatological ramifications." Do you get that? After the service, C.S. Lewis asked him the question, "Do you mean that a person who doesn't believe in Christ will go to hell?" "Precisely," was the young man's response. "Then say so," said C.S. Lewis. How many sermons have you heard on the subject matter of hell? Not too many, I should think. A preacher had just preached a sermon on hell, and at the door afterwards, a lady said to him, "I never knew what hell was like until I heard you preach." Of all the religious teachers who ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one qualified to speak with authority about death and about the afterlife. The Lord Jesus is the only one who claimed he would die and return from the dead. And then he did just that. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God, and God speaks to us, and through the Bible, through the Holy Bible, reveals to us information about God and about heaven and about hell. Some people refer to the story of Lazarus and the rich man as a parable. But the Bible does not call this a parable. And many of the great theological masters and scholars believe that Jesus is actually describing an actual occurrence. And I believe that too. In the 38 parables that Jesus told He never ever called anyone by name. In this particular story, Jesus identifies two of the characters by name, Lazarus and Abraham. And he also makes reference to Moses and to the prophets. Here, we have a story of two actual characters, the rich man and Lazarus, characters possibly known to Jesus. And we have a story of their history in this world and in the world to come, solemnly traced by Jesus for the benefit of all of us. So I guess what we're saying here is that you, every single one of us, must listen to what God is saying in this scripture reading today, and what is God saying to you in this scripture reading today. Jesus tells us that both men died. We all will. Every single one of us, this will come to us. Poor Lazarus went to heaven, and the rich man went to hell. And what happened to each of them was immediate. They are immediately in either heaven or hell. A man had a message inscribed on his tombstone, and it said this: "Consider, young man, as you walk by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, you soon shall be, so prepare, young man, to follow me." That sounded pretty profound. But some other fellow had written underneath his own edition, and it said this: "To follow you is not my intent until I know which way you went." There are only two directions that we can go after we die, when we leave this world. Only two places that we can go after our death here. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. If this were the case, then Abraham would not have been in heaven, because Abraham was one of the richest men who ever lived. And he was in heaven. Abraham was in heaven because he obeyed and he served God faithfully. Lazarus did not go to heaven because he was poor. We can only assume that he went to heaven because, like Abraham, he trusted in God for his daily provision, meager as it may have been. He was in heaven because he trusted in God. For you and I, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is the deciding factor on where we spend eternity. In which one of only these two places that we will go, because we will go to one of them. Between these two places, heaven and hell, we learn that there is a great chasm, and there is no crossing over. The eternal destination is final and it is permanent. And we learn from this account from Jesus that on arriving in hell, the non-believer instantly becomes a believer. A believer who then wishes to embark on missionary work to save other people. The rich man still expects poor Lazarus to run errands for him. "Send Lazarus," he says, "send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Then again, "Send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers." Five brothers who were no doubt living the same lifestyle as what the rich man was. "Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." And Abraham tells him, They've got Moses. They've got the prophets. They've got the Bible. They've got the Word of God. Let your brothers listen to them. No, Father Abraham, says the rich man, but if someone from the dead goes back to them, they will repent. That sounds like a good point, doesn't it? If someone comes back from the dead who's seen it, they'll listen to them, they'll repent. Imagine for a moment, if you would, you are not a Christian. You're at home watching your favourite TV show and there's a knock on your front door. You answer the door and there stands the old boy whose funeral you attended a few weeks ago. He says, "I've come to talk to you about Jesus. Can I come in? I have come back from heaven with a message to especially warn you that there is a hell. Because your elder brother is there now. And he asked me to come and warn you to do everything that you can to avoid this place. You need to bow your head right now. You need to get down on your knees and accept Jesus as your saviour." Wouldn't that scare you if that happened? Wouldn't that scare the out of you? Yes, it would. Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets and to the word of God, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is a powerful warning here for everyone, especially to those people who are sailing through life, ignoring the word of God, thinking that they are doing okay. A warning, a powerful warning for all of us, right from God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read to you and remind you what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it." God in the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that most people are on the road to hell. And he carries on and he says, "But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it." And this is the word of the Lord. This is the word of God in Christ Jesus. A Sunday school teacher told his class this story of Jesus, story of Jesus, of rich man and Lazarus. And he highlighted the good of Lazarus and he highlighted the bad of the rich man. And he pointed out how one man went to heaven and the other went to hell, and how the rich one was and how the poor man was. And after the lesson, the teacher asked the children, "Now, which would you rather be, the rich man or Lazarus?" And of course, there's always a smart kid in the class. And the smart kid raised his hand and he said, "I'd like to be the rich man when I'm alive. And Lazarus when I'm dead." And I guess that would be the wish for all of us. But we all have to make a decision before we leave this earth where we are going to spend eternity. And we need to make that decision and we need to do something about it. Because to do nothing is to make the wrong decision. I heard an interesting question recently and it was this. If you had the opportunity to spend just 30 seconds in hell or 30 seconds in heaven, which do you think would make you the more committed Christian? I think most of us would prefer a 30 second glimpse of heaven, but the 30 seconds in hell would make believers of absolutely everybody. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can speak with any authority on life after death. And he does so in this powerful story from today's gospel reading. He gives us the facts. And for that we say thanks be to God. Amen. For our closing hymns, the first one is quite profound. It's entitled, "I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus." We stand and sing to his glory. Joining with Edward Michael to celebrate his 50th birthday. So, right after the service, we celebrate with Edward. To be God's people, 312.
Spirit be with us all and all whom we love,
this day and forevermore.